Greetings, brothers and sisters. I want to take this opportunity to bring the message this morning. Since there are no one here to sing this song, I would like to begin with hymn number 309, and I just would like to read. Behold, there is in Gethsemane, the Lord feels death's great agony. Within his innermost soul, see how he to his knees did sink, bitter the cup yet he doth drink. Behold, to earth he falleth there, the Holy One must burdens bear of overwhelming woe, yet hear him pray submissive still, not mine, but let be done thy will. Behold, when in deep sorrow's woe thy weary heart doth overflow, careworn in many tears, then learn thou in the darkest night to trust thy Lord and God aright. Before we look into God's word, let us turn to him in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning as we look into thy holy and precious word. We're thankful that we have this word that has been preserved down through the ages. And though we find ourselves in circumstances beyond our control, we still find it needful and necessary to look into your word, meditate upon it, and bring honor and glory and praise to thy name. So bless the reading of thy word as we call upon thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. For this meditation and the reading of this God's word this morning, I'd like to turn to St. John, the chapter 18, and I would like to begin with verse 28 and read through chapter 29 to the 18th verse. This is right after they had taken Christ and brought him before Pilate and accused him of many things. And so they wanted to put him to death, and they brought him before Pilate. And this is what they said. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusations bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto him, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. That the Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entering into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or didst others tell thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And he put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, but by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thence Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. And whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. I have concluded the reading at verse 18. As I read this account of what took place of our Lord and Savior, I'm reminded of the time when Christ had talked about what he had to go through. He told his disciples many times that he must go to Jerusalem and the Son of Man must be treated cruelly and so on and so forth. And they never really understood it. Even now at this point in time, they really didn't understand it. But when he said that, when he said to Pilate, he said, I have come. Wait a minute, let me find it. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king? Then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so we recall the story that in the portion of John where we read in chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Christ by night, and he wanted to answers on this. He was a Pharisee, a ruler in Jerusalem there in Israel. And so he wanted to, he didn't understand. He wanted to know more. Excuse me. And so he comes to him by night, and he asked him about these things. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus saith unto him, "Can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So he explained to Nicodemus what this here was all about, that you must be born again. And that's why he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were world of this world, I would, my servants would fight. But," he said, "my kingdom is of thence," meaning that it's a spiritual kingdom that we're talking about here. Yes, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We read that in the book of Revelations. And then when he comes back, he's going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so, yes, he is going to be a king, but not on this earth. And so Pilate did not understand that. And so when we read this account of this story, we realize that what has taken place and what we have read, there is nothing ever since the beginning of time that has taken place on the face of this earth that has changed the course of men and the way they live and believe. God knew from the beginning what he wanted and what his plan was. And so he is now fulfilling this plan, the plan of salvation as we know it. And so when it was prophesied in the prophets oft times of what he should go through and what he must suffer and how he was going to be the king. And so it was prophesied that this is all going to take place. And so now here we read about it as it is taking place. And like I mentioned, nothing so drastic has changed the course of men's lives. And it kind of reminds me of a little bit of today that we're living in. This coronavirus in which we are experiencing now, many things are shut down. Our government has responded to the precautions that we must take and need to take. And so we find ourselves here with a closed church. There's many things that are closed. And it's not that we are forbidden to preach the gospel message, but we are asked not to assemble ourselves together. And so what has taken place is actually worldwide. It's not just our country. And it wasn't just China. It's worldwide. Last night I happened to get a phone call from my cousin from Australia. And she was explaining to us, she wanted to know if our churches were closed and all of these things are happening. And she said, "Oh, yeah, sure. Many things are shut down." She said, "Well, that's the same thing here." And it happened to be when she calls, it's a day ahead of us. And so it was on a Sunday for her. And she said, "I feel bad. I can't go to church. And I meet my friends there." And she said, "It's just really strange." And so we're finding that this virus has changed the course of many, many lives, if you want to look at it. From what I read and understand, there has been more people that has considered what the Bible teaches, what the end times are going to be like. Is this part of the end times? And there's a lot of uncertainty. There are people that are afraid. There's fear in the hearts of men. And so this is taking place. Only God knows the reason. And I believe that everything is in His control. He knows exactly what He's doing. And I believe, personally, I believe that He has done this so that we would, that He would awaken the people to the realization that life can change. You know, up until now, things were going pretty smooth. As a matter of fact, our economy was one of the best it's been for years. As far as the world is concerned, it's the same thing. But all of a sudden, everything has turned around. And we're just, you're just talking a matter of, what, month? Something like that. Maybe not even that long. That everything has totally changed and turned around. We can't come and go as we wish. We're cautious. We have to be careful how we meet people and come in contact with. You don't know who's got this virus and who's caring and who isn't. We don't know. Some of these things are so uncertain. We don't know how long it's going to last. All the schools are closed down. Everything is shut down so that there's no assembling. How long is this going to last? We don't know. But it has definitely changed the course of life. Men have realized that there is something about this, and I believe that God has awakened people to the realization that He's in control and that you need to turn to Him. You know, I believe that too many people in this world have depended on their own selves, on their own, relied on their resources, and in many cases, I believe, have neglected to give honor to God and to glory to Him. They have looked at it as self and accomplishments that we have done, what man has done. And that's true. There's many, many things that we have accomplished as human beings only by the grace of God. But I believe that society has lost its desire to serve God in a way and give Him the credit instead of they give it them to themselves. Look what I have done. Look what we have done. Look what our president has done. It goes on and on. But I believe that God has put this here for a good reason, and that's so that we can realize He is still in control. Just like this case which we just read about, God was in control. He sent His Son on this earth to die for our sins. And Christ knew that. He knew this is why He came. He came because God loves us, and He made a way for our soul salvation. And that's what that story we just read about is all about. This story that we read about here and the remaining chapters of this book refer to His resurrection and His when they come to the tomb and find Him gone, He is alive. He's not dead. They buried Him, yes, the body, but it rose. He was not, when they went to the grave, He was not there. And so those events took place for a specific reason, for us to realize and understand that God is in control and that He is the one that we must give honor, glory, and praise to. When I think about the crucifixion and what He had to suffer for, and I realize that He has done that for me, He has done that for each one and every one of us. And we have to look at this in a very personal way, for our own personal soul salvation. Yes, there's many that are a part of the body of believers. There are many that are God's children, and they're following in His ways and in His footsteps, and they believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, there are many that do that. But we have to take this, and our friends outside of Christ, you have to realize that you need to take this as a personal, your personal Savior. Because He died for you. If there was no one else on earth but you, He would have done this. And we need to realize that. And that's what this story here that we have read about is all about. It's His death and what he went through. The Bible teaches us that by his stripes we are healed. You see, he took all of this in our stead. He shed his blood on our behalf. He died on that cruel cross, hung, pain, suffering. As we read here about how they took him into Pilate's halls and they turned him over to the soldiers and they planted a crown of thorns on his head. Here, king, you're the king. Give him a purple robe. And they mocked him and slapped him, even spit on him. The things that he had to go through for you and for me. Suffering, pain, shame, agony, many, many difficult things that he endured for us because he loved us so much. You know, he left his splendor in heaven to come down on this earth to be like one of us as a man, and so that we would understand that what he has gone through, that we too can go through these things if we believe in him, if we trust in him, if we accept him as our Savior. We can go through these trials just like right now. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry, wonder how long this is going to last. What's going to happen to my family? Am I going to be able to feed them? And is this going to be over in a month, 2 months, 6 months? It's uncertain. We don't know. And it's not for us to know at this point in time. But what it is our responsibility to put our trust and our cares upon the Lord. And that's the very thing that God, I believe, is trying to get our attention so that we realize what this is all about. And it has definitely changed the course of our lives. And so when this took place, which we read about, and how he had to go through all of this, that's what changed the course of men's lives. It gave us the opportunity, it gave us the hope to live for. It gave us the hope of eternal salvation. You know, if this would have never taken place, where would we be? What would this world be like? We would be men most miserable. And there are a lot of people that are most miserable simply because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in God. They are living for themselves. They are doing their own thing. They're living the way they want to live and giving God no credit, no recognition. And is this a wonder? Is it any wonder? This is what man is all about. This is what men do. There were times I have to admit myself before I become converted. I lived for myself. I didn't want to hear this gospel message. I didn't want to hear about my soul is going to burn forever like my mother told me. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to do my own thing. So I know what it is for people to be like this because I was that way myself one time. But praise God, thanks be to him that his love for me did not diminish. It didn't matter what all the sins that was in my life, he forgave me all of it. And that's what this whole story is about. You know, when he was being nailed to the cross, we read in the book of Luke, he said to them, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Pain? Yes. Very painful. I cannot imagine what it had to be like to drive nails through his hand and through his feet and then raise him up on the cross. But you know, he knew this was coming. He knew this was going to take place. Because you see, we can also read in John, the first chapter 3, where Christ said, "I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, this sometimes we don't really understand what this serpent in the wilderness was about. But when the children in Israel left Egypt and they were coming through the desert, and there were complaining and murmuring and grumbling just like we have today. And so there was serpents that came and were biting and killing. People were dying because of the serpents. And so God had told Moses, make a staff, make a brazen serpent, place it on this staff and put it before the people. And when the people come and look upon this and believe, they will not die. And this is what he's referring to when he said, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Christ said, for if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And that's exactly what he has done. That's why this story is in the scriptures. That's why God set this plan in motion for our soul salvation, to live a godly life, to serve him, to love him, and to do his will in all things. And when he finally hung on the cross, and he looked on and he saw his mother, he asked John to take care of his mother, and he asked the mother that this is your son. And so she went and lived with John the Apostle from that time on. And then it says, he gave up the ghost and died on that cross for you and for me. And so let us be thankful. Let us be mindful of the times in which we live and the alteration of the course of life when this took place. Even as we can see today, things are not the same. Whether they'll ever get back to normal, only God knows. But let us not fear. Let us not be afraid of what the future holds. Let us be fearful of him that holds the future. You know, Christ said, fear not what man can do to you, because when he kills the body, he can do no more. But fear him that can kill the body and then cast this self into hell forever. That's the one we need to fear. We don't need to fear what's going to take place on this earth, what's going to take place in the near future, what's going to take place. We have no reason. You know, its scriptures teach us that perfect love casteth out fear. And that perfect love is nothing more than the love for the Word, love for our Lord and Savior, love God, and that will give us the peace and the contentment, the satisfaction which endures us through this life. If you don't have this peace in your heart, you don't have this hope, you can be men most miserable. But there is a way out. And that is this plan of salvation which we read about here. He died on the cross for us. He loved us so much. And that's what God said. Christ said, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. In conclusion, I would like to read one more song. One that we're very familiar with. It's found in page 89, To Christ on Golgotha. To Christ on Golgotha, my spirit fain would go. Excuse me. To ponder on his word and his exceeding woe. What pain unspeakable in this great cry we see. My God, oh, why hast thou forsaken me? No vengeance in his heart, I hear him plead anew, "Dear Father, pray, forgive. They know not what they do." And it says in the seventh verse, "It is finished," cries, and bows his head, "The end, O Father, to thy hands my spirit I commend." Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, as we have looked into thy word, and as you have reminded us that thou hast died, sent thy Son Jesus Christ to die for us, that thou hast made a way of escape, thou hast given us a hope that we can endure the cares and the concerns of this life, that we need not to fear what life brings us, but that we might reverence thee, our God, and our Father in heaven, and that we might love thee and serve thee to the best of our abilities. Help us, Heavenly Father, to understand your word. We pray for those, Father, that don't know thee as their personal Savior. We pray that this epidemic that is upon us, that there might be souls that realize the need for their soul salvation, that they would turn to your word, read it, meditate upon it, and understand that they are lost individuals if they don't, like he told Nicodemus, "Unless ye are born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we pray, Heavenly Father, be with those that don't know thee, as thee call upon them, as the message goes out again, to repent, humble yourselves, and turn to thee, the living God. For we know, Father, that thou art again, as we say, thou art in control. We need not fear, only trust in the living, precious, and holy Heavenly Father, which we have. So we thank thee for all the blessings that you do bestow upon us, and may we have the faith to continue to trust and to walk in thy ways, serving thee to the best of our abilities. We commit this time into your care and keeping, and we pray a blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.